policy and kind of spearhead the pilot committee and working on new legislation, and also kind of acting with John Hennington of Janet Uemoto's office and our Uemoto's office for kind of group distribution matters. And so hopefully we're getting all that figured out, so our distribution lists are now moving a little more clearly than they were in the past.
Okay. Justin Record, I'm with Bureau of Reclamation. I'm on the pilot subgroups committee looking at a water smart grant to facilitate a study of water banking, and I'm also attending a few of the other committees just to get a sense for where reclamation might be on help with water banking.
I am Jesse Pearson. I'm a new employee here in the Division of Water Resources. I'm a GIS analyst and have worked in the Walla Basin, which has been active in water banking, so just interested in learning more.
I'm Lacey Moore. I also work for the Division of Water Resources, and I've been participating a little bit in the pilot subgroup.
Candace Hoffnager with the Division of Water Resources, and I've also been working on the pilot
subgroup. I'm Linda Freitas, the Executive Director of Friends of Great Salt Lake, a membership nonprofit that works to preserve and protect the Great Salt Lake ecosystem.
Andy Rasmussen with Trout Unlimited. Just here for the food.
Paul Burnett with Trout Unlimited. I'm also here for the paper. I've also been on the pilot
program. I'm Jason Buchanan with GovFriend, and I'm here to learn about what we can help with.
Joshua Palmer with GovFriend. I worked with the Division of Water Resources for several years, and we have an interest in the administrative efficiency of water banking.
I'm Marcel Shoup. I'm the director of the Saline Lakes Program for National Audubon Society, and I, too, am working on several of the subcommittees. So. Mm-hmm.
Nathan Dowds with Cache Water District.
Boyd Clayton with Water Rights, just trying to keep track of this.
Peter Gessel, Utah Department of Agriculture and Food.
Great. So,
no, John Mabian. John Shoup?
Oh, sure, yeah. John and John.
Yes, John Mabee. I sit on the Utah Water Task Force, so I'm trying to stay on top of all the issues, and I'm not particularly assigned to any committee other than perhaps if pilot project goes to Bear River System.
John Schutz, maybe Wright and James. Hopefully I'm on all three of the committees to some extent.
Check the distribution.
And Elizabeth Kitchens from the Nature Conservancy is also on the phone, and I've been participating in the pilot project group.
Great. All right. Well, we've got is anybody else on the phone? Scott Martin on the line yet? So I think either Emily or I have spoken with pretty much everyone in the room or Candace about where we are, but what we thought, and Emily just sent out a copy of this agenda and a status update which goes through a lot of this in really good detail, but maybe what we can do, Emily, I can go over where we are legislatively if you want to handle the Water Smart Grant, and then we can talk about the upcoming speaking engagements. But it has been a busy month on the Hill, as Candace and Emily and I know from spending much of it together up there. I think Emily and I spent half the day together yesterday testifying before the Joint Appropriations Committee and also meeting with the Senate President and Senator Iwamoto. So at this point, the bill, I believe, is passed out of the Senate, placed on Senate calendar. It's now before the House. We've testified before the Senate, before the House Natural Resources Committee, now before the Joint Appropriations Committee, and we met with the Senate President. So it's passed out of everything. That's the joint resolution. As you may recall, we did a resolution supporting this effort, calling for legislation in 2020. We've also put together, as pretty much I think most of you or your organizations have signed the letter of support that we did, both supporting the resolution and supporting the $400,000 appropriations request. So yesterday was about the appropriations request. So far, I don't think anybody has expressed any opposition to either the appropriations request or to the resolution. There are some questions, of course, but everyone seems to think that it's a good idea, something that's supportive, a lot of really positive comments about the process that we've been following, about the approach of starting this with a pilot program initially. When we met with the Senate President yesterday, I think what everyone was told this year was there was going to be a lot of money. And I think there is a lot of money.
But there's a lot more ideas.
Yeah.
And I think there are 500 and some million dollars in appropriations requests, aside, I think, from the governor's budget. But it looks like some of these estimates of what's going to happen in the coming year are going to eat away at perhaps that surplus. So there is some concern amongst the appropriators about making sure the money goes where it's supposed to, because they're not expecting to get the same amount of revenue that they have in the past. However, I think what President Adams said was $400,000 is going to break the bank.
We're like, we should have added a zero.
Yeah, we should add more. But so just by way of background, the $400,000, we selected that amount because that's the most that we can get in matching funds for a Water Smart grant from the federal government. And so we structured the appropriations request, and you should have this. This is also something that Emily had to whip together at a
late hour.
We both got a call from Senator Iwamoto, I think, Friday afternoon, saying, I need this Monday. They just changed the appropriations rules, and we need all this stuff now.
I think it was actually Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. It was over the weekend. But so she whipped that up. She did a great job. We have structured this in a way so that we'll still function if we don't get the Water Smart grant. Ideally, we will get it. And I think, frankly, with this resolution and $400,000 appropriations, I don't see how we don't, based on our prior conversation.
Writing a really good application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Making sure it isn't a requirement.
But correct me if I'm wrong. If we have a resolution from the legislature saying we want legislation next year, and they pointed at $400,000, that's going to make a pretty compelling application.
It'll be a strong application. It depends on what the others are.
Yeah. Well,
but I think we stand a really good chance.
Yeah. So we've set this up that even if we don't get the matching funds, we still have some money to do things. Mainly it would focus on getting a project manager that would work with Candace's office, either as a contractor or someone on your staff. I'm assuming you don't have extra project managers lying around. Well, maybe.
Maybe we do.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we'll have to work that out with staffing and get all that, or get an outside
person. Yeah. Ideally, that would be someone to help with this.
So just so you guys know, speaking of the materials that we prepared for with Senator Iwamoto, they have kind of an itemized budget and deliverables that are kind of supporting the appropriation request. And we don't really have an itemized budget at this point in time. So what the document says is these are kind of the intended, there's basically like three categories of fund, or this is four categories of spending, and that's General Water Banking Administration, Public Education Materials, the Water Banking Pilot Project, and then as well as a final Water Banking Strategy Report. And this hopefully, there wasn't enough time to come back to the group for consensus, but I think that this hits all the points that we've discussed, but it's also very closely hewed and tailored to meeting the requirements of the Water Smart grant so that we can count the appropriation as our matching fund. Because if they don't match each other with what their intent is, then we have problems.
Yeah. And so one of the other things we've proposed in here is this funding would be used for general manager, it would be used for public education, it would be used to help stand up these pilot programs, and also it would be used to fund kind of a report at the end, so we can go back and say, okay, here's how the pilot programs work. These are the tweaks and the changes we need to make to whatever concept we develop. And so before I hand things over to Emily to talk about the grant and the speaking engagements, I want to just point out one thing, and that is the timeline that we have now. Sterling wasn't able to come here yesterday, but Sterling has been in all of these hearings. He's testified in favor of these resolutions. He met with Senator Adams and Emily and Senator Iwamoto and me yesterday, and he's been, I think, hugely influential and very helpful in moving this along. But one of the things that Sterling has said to the legislators and has repeated quite frequently here is the need for time that he has for the farmers and the Farm Bureau to take whatever concept we're able to flesh out back to his folks and to shop it around. And so as we've been talking about this and speaking, and Senator Iwamoto called me last night and we talked a little bit more about it, she thinks we probably need to have our draft legislation wrapped up, you know, by beginning of May or end of May at latest. So we have a draft, as many of you have seen, that I'd say is maybe 50 to 60% there. The last 40% is the hardest part. And so we've been talking about we're probably going to need to meet in a more frequent interval than once a month if we're going to meet that deadline to have it ready. Senator Iwamoto is going to work with Representative Hoffs, and she's thinking, I want to get as many box cars in as possible in front as soon as we can. So I've got this, again, being the first thing up on the legislator's agenda. This resolution was SJR1, so that's why it's already moved along as quickly as it has. But in order to do that, we've got to move more quickly than we have before. And so we're going to need to, I think, probably start meeting on maybe a weekly basis to start moving some of this along, which is hard because we've got water users coming up from the midst of the legislative session, but I don't want to just get to April and have only April to do this.
Clarifying question, are you referring to this larger group meeting once a week, or are you referring to the new legislative group?
Good point. I think mainly for the new legislative group, my subgroup, we're going to need to meet more frequently than that. And those of you who are on that, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that, this is kind of jumping around a little bit, but I think the pilot project, which we'll discuss in a moment, is going to go into a little bit of a lull as we work with the grant writer. But I think simultaneously with working on the draft legislation, we probably need to be working on our public education materials. So I see the time frame on both groups being about the same frequency and then with constant coordination. And maybe we could set something up so that we have like weekly meetings of the subcommittees and then like a biweekly conference call or something like that.
Okay, and so are we thinking new legislation and proposals to existing legislation both done by May?
Mm-hmm.
So we need pretty solid new legislation and how it's going to impact existing legislation, I think.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. I mean, I think that's the goal. You know, I think if we can get to the end of May, but the fortunate thing is I think, Wendy, with your discussions, you already kind of identified the big areas that need to be changed. So
yeah, I don't think mine is hugely time-consuming. It's just enough time to really digest the new and figure out how to impact it.
And what we may need to do is work concurrently. Because what I'm hoping we can do is just kind of, some of this we can just check off and then hand it to you and say, okay, we're still working on the overall package, but here's this portion, and here's, and then you can go from there. So it's not all just, hey, Wendy, it's April 30th.
And here it all is, yeah.
So, Wendy, is the split season ag concepts going to come into yours, or is it going to come out of the pilot program as we work on that more? Because that's something we need to. We haven't talked a lot about that yet, but if things are going to move as fast as what you're saying, we need to get that discussion going as well.
That's what I was going to give a spoiler alert. I don't see you've been selling this as everything in the world. And at some point, you're going to have to decide what it really is. And drafting legislation before you figure that out with a pilot project is just going to make you redraft the legislation.
And I think that's intended. Like, in the appropriations request, it's stated as a term legislation for 2020 to come back and, like, tweak after we've done the pilots. So I think it's been presented as, you know, this is our initial thought for 2020. We'll do the pilot, see what's up, and then we'll write our water marketing strategy report, which is required by the federal grant, and then come back and tweak it for like, oh, that didn't work or didn't work. I mean, that's how we presented it and thought that.
And we've also made it clear that I think I've said a couple times that it's not a panacea. We're not expecting this to go everywhere.
Yeah.
We're not expecting it to be the be-all and end-all tool, but it is going to be a tool that we'll need. But I think we're going to need legislation to authorize the pilot programs anyway.
See, I don't think you do. I think you can just go do it. We'll work with you to make it work.
And going back to Rich's question, I think there are aspects.
Did you get that recorded?
There's a big red thing came up on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there are aspects of changes to existing legislation that make sense whether the big picture water banking goes or not.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're tweaking existing legislation, I think we put stuff like that in, and if that succeeds and it gets through, we still want a little step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I think the protections against abandonment and forfeiture, that's a pretty easy one. And I think that's a perception one that we'll need to get people interested in what we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if we get shorter term change applications, if we get split seasons, you know, a handful of things like that, say even if everything else fails, we've still taken steps forward into better water management.
Yeah.
We also don't want to get ahead of where you guys are either, though, you know.
Well, that's what I...
Yeah.
It's just going to get really tough if you're proposing things that mm-hmm. we can't see how it works. Mm-hmm. And so...
So, I guess, folks on my subcommittee, most of whom are here, what's your ability to do more frequent meetings? Right? If we're going to give Sterling enough time, because I'm thinking, you know, it's going to need at least half a year, we need to have something fixed out. Well,
have we defined what the speed of grading gear is?
Well, when we've talked to Sterling about it, and I don't want to speak for him, my understanding has been that he needs time to take this to his community and have them have a chance to review it, provide comments, and then address their concerns.
I mean, ultimately, this will be addressed in their November convention, but I get what you're saying. And I mean, summer's, well, I'm not going to set a schedule for him.
Yeah,
but based on my, I was on his water committee once when I was in Utah Farm Bureau, and it's pretty flexible. But if he's taking it on tour, there's not really much of a chance to do that with the way that, I mean, they used to have a mid-year convention, and that would have been perfect. But now it's everything is over the winter, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, granted, he didn't give us this timeline. This is coming from Senator Iwamoto in terms of what she thinks she needs. Legislatively, she's the one that said, you know,
sure.
May and
interim. And, yeah,
but I think there's going to be a lot of education on the Hill too mm-hmm. during the interim committee. I just think the sooner we can come up with finish what we started with this draft legislation, the better off. And you know, realistically, we may not, but I think we need to set a goal and work as quickly as we can towards it, and then see what we get.
It will take weekly to
yeah.
get there because I think there's a lot of untangled stuff.
My concern is if we set the goal as the end of summer, yeah. and then we're going to hit the holiday season, and then we're going to be out of time.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is, we've been talking about
this. I think
this.
Between Christine and I, we'll try to keep up on it.
Yeah, and I think maybe we can, I think a lot of this doesn't necessarily need to be a big, long meeting, and maybe these can just be calls, frankly. I'm just thinking mainly of the AVA Water Law Conference, which many and I have worked on. It's just you can even do it in like 30 minutes just to make sure that everyone's doing their assignments and that things are moving along and the answer questions have popped up. It's just mainly to keep it on the radar.
See if there's anything we're tripping over.
Yeah. So I'm not anticipating these big 2-hour long meetings, which I think in large part the length of these meetings due to the fact that we're meeting on a once a month basis or so and there's just a lot that happens during that period of time. So I'm envisioning maybe if we just set like a set time, like every third like every Wednesday or every Friday at a certain time, and we just stick with it. And whoever can make it, makes it, and the rest of us do our best to make it work. And I think between the two of us, we can tag team it. That would be the goal.
And why don't you put me on those calls? You know,
yeah.
So that,
yeah.
Again, when it makes sense to start moving, I'm fully informed and the other group can start moving.
Yeah. And I think we're kind of hitting the point where this is all starting to bleed together anyway.
Yeah, I think
where
it's kind of longer.
It's what we're doing is putting together a package bill where we're going to go and change multiple things. Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense.
I've got to ask one question that's burning in my mind. If I'm the only one, I apologize, and there's my disclaimer. But I love this pilot project. I'm really excited about it. Glad this 400K hopefully is a lock. And you know I want to be engaged in this, but I guess my question is, if we're drafting right now, and realistically a pilot project doesn't go in until fall, whatever, if it's a pilot project, isn't kind of the point to kind of learn from it? And are we trying to come up with the final product before we can learn some of those lessons? Granted, one of the problems with me saying that is that puts us more than one session out. I guess my question is, how do we gain the most from the pilot project and have it feed into what we're trying to do with legislation?
Well, the way we've set this up was that we're going to try and do the legislation, because that's what recommended strategy calls for, that's what the resolution is.
Sure.
Calls for, but the way that we've set this up is here is our initial thinking of the way that this is going to work. And we've created it in tandem with these pilot programs. We're going to do these pilot programs to test out this concept that's put together. And then after that's done, we're going to come back with the report and say, here's what needs to be tweaked.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of, because I think we have to think a little bit about the Water Smart Marketing Grant, with, or the Water Smart Water Marketing Grant, because in a little way that drives the bus, because it has more specific criteria than a ad hoc whole cloth project that we create in Utah. And the end final result for the Water Smart Grant is that we have a water strategy report. And that report is supposed to inform what a broader statewide water market might look like. And so, like, I think initially a lot of our discussions focused on the pilot stage is kind of the primary way that we kind of exercise our ideas. But I really think it's going to be pilot and report and then come back and tweak anything we did in 2020 to say, like, oh, that was a great idea. That failed terribly on its face. We should cut that out. We're saying, like, in our report, it identified that, and that's kind of how the funds are articulated for the project manager, is to, like, not only help coordinate the pilot stuff, but write the report and go back and make sure we have a critical assessment of how our pilots worked and failed and recommendations for legislative changes. And so it's like a process. This is step one, step two, step three.
Kind of and as long as that's understood as part of that process, yeah. I'm totally good with that.
Yeah.
If it's a matter of, all right, we're going to do this and we're going to get the money, but we've already set what we're going to do. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that sounds counterintuitive. But
I think it's a perfect question. And I think it's a discussion that we have had on the margins of the group, but I don't think I've explicitly discussed as much here.
I thought maybe I'd missed that meeting.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, and I think it came up when we had to write the information. We had to do the appropriations request because we haven't yet had to really articulate it.
Yeah.
And then, like, we internally were like, we don't feel comfortable just saying we're going to have 2020 legislation. And so it's been drafted as term legislation in 2020 with a pilot stage after it with a report to coordinate with the grant and then coming back and modifying legislation so that it reflects the recommendations of the report.
Right. And one thing to add, part of the reason why I think we're doing this is that As we all know, those of us who have worked on this legislation, what we've spent most of our time working on is the framework by which these things will be created and regulated or overseen by the Board of Water Resources. All of these banks are going to be very different from one another. And so I think that the lessons that they're going to learn and how a bank function, we run the risk that they may be potentially just specific to whatever basin they're in and may not carry over in terms of how that bank works. But the one thing we do want to test out is the statewide framework we're trying to do. That's what's going to be applicable elsewhere. And if we don't create that framework on the front end, I'm concerned we'll just end up with pilot programs that say, here's how a pilot program could work in the Provo, and that's great for the Provo, but it doesn't show how a statewide, here's how you create a bank process. So that's what we're trying to test drive.
Yeah.
So I think that's it on my end. I don't get the sense everyone's crazy about meeting more frequently, but if we try to do it in a...
So, Wendy, do you
see...
I like meetings. Let's do calls.
We're the best meetings, though. We're the most fun.
So, question for Wendy. Do you see on... because I haven't been involved much at all with your group, but as you start producing things like looking at the split season and different things like that, then I want to get more involved there as well. Do you see yours going to a weekly thing as well, or
I think if it does, it's going to be a weekly thing for like a month, because mine is not overly complex, which is why there hasn't been a lot going on. It's like we hit that right off the get-go.
Yeah.
It was pretty easy to say this is what we need, and now we've been waiting to be informed by what the new legislation looks like so that we can conform to it. So I think we may be weekly, but it's going to be at the end of this. And it's going to be really tight. It's going to be three or four weeks. Yeah. Some of it will overlap, and then there's probably going to be a really intense little short period of time where we really get into the nitty-gritty of details.
And I just think it should just be like a legislative meeting. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we need to separate the two at this point. And then from our meetings, you know, taskmasters could be different depending on what legislation sections are working on.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think we probably need to join them all together. Because I think the whole point was to triage it and figure out.
Yep.
And you guys did that in
October.
Yeah. And then a handful of us can go off and again just detail the language.
Yeah.
Because the way I see these weeks is more like we're going to make assignments. Like, okay, Wendy, here's for one thing that we're going to have to change is the role that the Board of Water Resources plays. We've already come up with some new language. Mm-hmm. To authorize them to play an oversight role with water banks. But as I think some of you have been involved in these discussions, mainly Marcel, on the Watershed Council legislation that Todd and Dave Ure and Warren Peterson have been working on, And they had some initial discussions about, well, how does this interface with water banking? And initially they were going to make these watershed councils be the body that regulates the water banks. But then they decided, after I went there and met with them, that let's leave that to us to figure out. And so that's something we're going to have to figure out.
Well, I brought up to Todd, what if the watershed council wants to be the water bank of that area? I mean, and by regulating, you're limiting that ability.
Yeah.
Maybe they're somehow involved, but I agree with you, like, defining that, especially where that's not as far along.
Yeah. Well, and that point that you made was when Dave Ure found out about it, was when Dave's eyes went really wide. He's like, wait, if these are the same people, which they could be, I don't want the people managing the money or overseeing the financial side of this also doing advisory, because he saw a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. So what we ultimately decided is that the board still needs to be the entity that has legal authority to do whatever oversight and approval of the banks that may be necessary, but that it may have the authority to delegate that responsibility where appropriate to a watershed council as they're be constituted to address this. And so that legislation, I think, AI has actually moved a lot further along than when we last met. I think there's been a flurry of activity in the last month. They're still working out the details. Marcel, you probably know more than anybody here about that. But
I think Peter knows more.
Oh, Peter, no, I'm sorry. Peter's been the one doing all the drafting.
Yeah. There's a lot of movement.
But I think you've got a good concept now.
Are you going to move this year on it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Would that be no?
Yeah, you heard me right. There has been a lot of movement, and I think we have made good progress, and we'll just keep tweaking, working on it. And so I think there is a chance to really talk about that interface and how these pieces can and should work together. Absolutely.
And so I think, you know, you tend to have each of these legislative sessions kind of has a water theme. This year is the water surplus theme. This is what most of the focus is on. Next year, I hope, can be the recommended strategy theme: water banking, water markets, watershed council. And so I see both of these bills needing to work in tandem. But anyway, getting back to my larger point is how we deal with the board. That's something right now where we might need Wendy and her folks to kind of look at how the code is set up. Do we need to tweak anything else?
Which I'm sure we do, and that's not something we looked at initially.
Yeah.
There's placeholders in the draft legislation, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think we'll have to have, like, a big combined meeting, look at where we're at, see what's up, go from there. Yeah.
So, with that, what days tend to work best for people? With the expectation, we know that people most likely aren't going to make every call. Fridays tend to work pretty well for me.
I would agree with that.
If it's in the morning, it works good for us because we're long days the rest of the week.
Yeah. So, if we were to do Friday, 10 o'clock?
9 o'clock. 7:30. 6 would be better than that.
Remember when I worked for the state and we didn't work on Friday?
Are you off on Friday, Candace?
I miss it so much.
Yes, but no.
Mm-hmm.
No. As long as I don't have to drive to Salt Lake, I'm good.
So you're not paid on Friday.
I share Candace's sentiment of it getting in the way of skiing, by the way.
Thursdays are usually pretty workable to me.
Thursdays are usually pretty good for me, but I really can make Friday work.
I'm open. I will make this work.
Wait, are you on a similar schedule?
I'm Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. So.
Okay. I want our state partners to be able to participate, and I don't want to schedule this at a time that's difficult for them, especially if it's on their scheduled day off.
Oh. Fridays are fine. Thursdays are good.
Thursdays, 10 a.m.
Thursdays. Does that work?
Okay.
So I'll send out a calendar invite for next Thursday, and I think what we can plan on is that one. We'll circulate the latest draft, and we'll identify some questions that we can circulate.
Do we want to maybe do an option, somebody's office downtown and a phone-in option?
Yeah, I'm happy to hold it at my place. Has my office worked for everybody who's come? I mean, is that an inconvenient place?
Very nice. And if you ever have a conflict, we're happy to.
Okay.
The phone-in option's been great for me.
Okay. We have a beautiful view of the ugly AT&T building next to it.
Yeah. But a lot of us are downtown, and sometimes the in-person's just
easier.
All right.
And it's nice to have a screen to look at what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we have TVs on the other side, too. So. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, with that, I think that's it for me on the legislation side. And I'm happy to turn this over to Emily.
Okay. Well, so we talk a little bit about where we are with the pilot project, and this has really been Candace and Lacey helping tremendously so with some very good input from Justin Record. So please chime in, group. But basically, where we have is, so we have, I also included in the email I sent out a little while ago, our current distribution lists. And the pilot group itself is about 20 people, which is rather large. And so we have for the last, like, 6 weeks or so, or probably longer than that, since, like, mid-December, just been working in a group of five or six, or I think there's eight of us, who are, like, a steering committee for the pilot group because it just was easier to be a little bit more nimble. And so what we've been doing, based on our last conversations with the broader pilot group, is working through the request for statements of qualifications to find a grant writer for our Water Smart Marketing grant. It's an expedited process through the procurement code, which is for, originally I had low value professional services in here, and then I was like, I meant low money value. And so,
low value.
Yeah, I was like, we value them, but like, it's under a certain threshold, you can use this kind of expedited process. And so, unfortunately for us, oh, here's the timeline too. So the funding opportunity announcement is set to come out for the Water Smart Water Marketing Grant the week of February 25th. If you're involved in irrigation companies, several of the other Water Smart programs have already been released, but that's not the Water Marketing Program. And then so once it's... Question? Okay. Once it's released, we have about 60 days to complete it, and so we're thinking about it closing sometime in May, and the successful grants are announced in June 2019. And I confirmed this with Denver today, so this is the most recent information. So what we're looking for is a grant writer to help us actually write our grant, just because there are both capacity constraints and time constraints of the larger group. And so we have sent out three separate rounds of requests for statements of qualifications. In the first round, we only got one response, and you need three under the statute for it to go forward. On the second round, we did get three responses finally, but we decided that maybe some additional requests, if we could get them, would be desirable. And so on a third round, we have sent out to a couple additional engineering firms, and we will get those back this Friday.
Mm-hmm. I think I have it closing
on Valentine's Day. Thursday. Okay.
Awesome. Hopefully. And I've heard from two of the additional that they are submitting something.
Great.
So
awesome.
We'll get at least two more.
Awesome. So then the next step for us is once those are all in, we as the steering committee will kind of rank who we think is great. And then we can either send that out to the larger pilot group. Time is kind of the essence with this, so we are hoping to be nimble.
if there's some passionate people who would like to be on that, I think they should let you know, and then so we can. Because yes. I would like to actually set that meeting today at some point,
okay,
or at least another doodle or something, because turning that around and picking, selecting someone, because it still has to go to finance.
Yes.
They have to negotiate the cost, because we haven't even talked about cost. We just talked about qualification.
Yeah.
There's still additional
criteria, yes. So we'd like to keep it still on that small steering committee, but if anyone is on the phone or here, wants to participate in that conversation, you should raise your hand now. Okay. So once, as Candace is...
Raise your hand down.
Yeah, raise your hand down, exactly. As Candace alluded to, once we have internally selected our top contenders, and we have, like, a little matrix that we created so that we're sure it's fair and we have, like, a good paperwork trail on it, then it gets forwarded to state purchasing, and they actually negotiate the contract. One thing we've not talked about is cost, that we probably should talk about. And AVRA did confirm in our last discussion that costs for a grant writer cannot be recouped through successful grant funds. So this will have to be a cost that is shouldered by the working group, and we will need to discuss who wants to contribute and what the appropriate scope is for that before we commit to a contract. Mm-hmm. And so, but time is of the essence, because if we would like to have our grant writer picked by the time the FOA comes out, so they can just jump in and do it. But then, with that being said, the other thing that I see as we go forward is that we're going to have to work very closely with the grant writer to make sure that it is hitting both all the criteria and the objectives of the group. And so I'm also seeing that there will be some kind of reach out to the broader group saying, here's our draft. If anyone has any serious issues, please let us know. Or here is what we're going to send to the grant writer as our key principles. Please let us know. And then I'm also seeing that work as double dipping in the creation of our educational materials for, like, the roadshow of what we do. Because it's all the same stuff. It just is packaged differently. So, yeah. Anything else on pilot projects? Or I guess it's really grant writing, right?
Grant writing at this point. Well, yeah. Do we, I mean, we've kind of conceptually identified Provo, and I'm assuming Central Utah is
supportive
on that.
Yeah.
And we've got, have Nathan here from in Cache County. Mm-hmm. So do we have any more specifics on?
So we have, so if you look at, so in addition to the continued water banking study itemized budget that we kind of made, what we made that's a draft concept budget, the other item that the appropriations request required was a study of deliverables and performance measures. And I had put in here that my intention was that I think that part of the grant process will be additional scoping to identify our pilot projects. Like, I don't think we have to have our pilot projects identified for the grant. I think we say we have a working understanding of several watersheds. Part of the pilot project process is additional scoping. Because, and you can see, like, some of the things that we had identified was, like, local interest and support. I'm hoping Clint's work will come in for this part. So, because, like, we have a, you know, additional scoping could be reviewing considerations such as local interest and support, extent of physical infrastructure to distribute water within proposed service area, availability of monitoring or measuring devices such as telemetry to regulate the distribution of water, local river commissioner support and interest in participating in pilot study, and other considerations as determined by additional study. So I think that's still an ongoing part of the grant process, or a component of the grant.
Right, because we didn't want to pick the pilots.
Sure.
Yeah. Process. And in part because the grant is for a strategy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Strategies.
Yeah.
I just want to highlight that because we keep talking about the pilot project, and this is really important, and it is a really good portion of it. But the grant application is for a water market strategy plan. Like, we have that report. Is what matters. The pilot project to the Bureau is more like, man, if you do it, great. If not, fine. It's completely optional.
Yeah.
Or we keep focusing on the pilot project for the grant. It's really about that report.
Yeah.
So we really need to make sure that is identified in our application. And we're not just like, oh, we're just going to write some stuff and do a pilot.
Yeah.
They care about the report and the plan.
And the scoping for what we pick for the pilot project are going to be the considerations that would be for statewide consideration if you were trying to do a pilot project or if you were trying to put a bank in your area. You know what I mean? Like, they will directly relate to the recommendations of what we think would happen statewide. So it's important we spend time on those.
I agree. But if any of us have a really good idea for how a pilot project would work, if you want us to do something up in your neck of the woods, if you've got some thoughts.
I think what we do there would be totally different than what Central Utah.
Well, that's the
point.
Would be,
it would give you pretty contrasting results.
And that's ideally what we want to be able to show. That's what makes Utah different from all these other states that have water banking. Is they don't have all these segregated water basins, for lack of a better word. They have, like, the Snake River. And so what we're trying to show is that we can do water banking, and we've created a framework in which local water users can create their own and have a very different bank. And I think that's why these are two very good examples.
And we've also had, just in our kind of nascent speaking, which we'll talk about in a moment, several other people come and say, we want to do this. And so, like, I think it's going to be interesting when we actually get to picking the pilots because, like, for example, Mike DeLores, is that how you say his last name, for Snyderville Basin Reclamation?
Mike Lewers.
He really wanted to do one up there on East Canyon. So, I mean, we could conceivably do lots of different pilots if people were willing to shoulder the burden of doing them. But we'll see.
I've got some clients, too, that would be interested in doing them. I mean, it would be very small, but I think that would be
good.
A good way to start off.
Yeah, big, small.
And we'll just have to, work that out with money do we have, and how much do each of these pilot projects cost, and what is going into them?
Yeah. And if the pilot project themselves, I mean, there's probably, I mean, we have to do in-kind contributions, and so, like, hopefully the $400,000, you know, would be the in-kind contribution for the $800,000. But if not, you know, if you want to do a pilot, your time and hours and manpower can all go towards our in-kind contributions.
So. Anything else on?
No, I think it's good. It's just, you know, the water banking is a tool of water marketing, so it's going to be taking a very high-level look at markets in Utah, trading of waters between different uses on a temporary basis. But, you know, just to keep in mind that the strategy is just to identify different tools that facilitate the market or different obstacles to the market and kind of things that you would want to overcome with legislation or different organizational fixes.
Just in a meeting or two ago, you talked about some of the complications that we may run into on this, and there's something to do with NEPA and things like that. What's the latest on that?
So that's there's another discussion that's ongoing in my shop and needs to actually be wrapped up as we move forward with legislation to the extent that we want to use Reclamation's reservoir.
Oh, yeah. We know that. Yeah.
I meant for the
grant.
Okay, you're right. The pilot project will require NEPA work. Just because if any time it's boots on the ground or, you know, physical changes, that requires a NEPA document. If it stays purely study, there's no NEPA for that. So
for example, let me just ask like a theoretical. So if some pilot project somewhere was trying to study how you would, markets and quickly move water in and out of the bank and be nimble and, for example, include ag, split season ag type things, because that's a you're saying that's going to require.
So the NEPA will be based on how much physical change occurs. I mean, if the pilot involves a large transfer of water, then the study of the impacts of that transfer of water would be what the NEPA would be based on.
Mm-hmm.
If it's simply a survey of water users and some, you know, more hypothetical interactions, then it wouldn't. If it actually involves constructing some facilities to facilitate
I kind of visualize at least some of the pilot projects or potential of them is investigating operations, you know, investigating how you would actually do stuff. So if that means a 12-month EA, you know, we need to understand that.
Well, when the investigation won't require me, but the implementation would require me, but and again, it's how big a change will it be? The smaller the change, the quicker we can get through. We do add categorical exclusions, just a one-week exercise, and EA can take 1 to 6 months. And it cost ranges for EA, must be very broad, 15 to 100,000. But I don't think we're on the upper end. I think we're closer to the lower end for this.
And
so that's only if federal funds are involved, right?
If we award the grant,
but they are because the grant.
So that would be where would be.
So we can't segregate what we're doing and say
we're using the legislators' money for this.
Were you going to use the legislators' money for this, and we'll use your money to study?
Well, there's a good point. You know, we talked about several different pilots. If several of those pilots were run more outside the study, they can inform the study, but they're not part of the study. And maybe there is a way to focus where the federal money is used and the scope of the federal study. Whatever you define as the scope of work of the proposal will be determined kind of where we go with NEPA.
Whatever we count as matching contributions have to comply with the federal requirements.
Right.
And so if we want to count the time and energy, the time and hours done to do a pilot that's funded by state or other funds as our matching contribution for the state, for the federal grant, it has to comply with those requirements. If we don't want to count them towards our, you know, in-kind contribution requirements, then we should be fine, right?
Right.
Yeah.
As long as we're not using federal facilities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand federal facilities are involved.
That's a separate question. Sure. I was confused for a minute. The federal facilities is kind of another discussion to have, but for the study. Yeah, that is a consideration for the pilot programs, but And when you are awarded, you know, after the award, then there's a period of time where reclamation sits down, we prepare a contract, and our NEPA experts would flesh out what we think might be needed for NEPA, and then there's an option for the state to do their own NEPA or for us to do NEPA and be reimbursed. Those are things that are discussed when we're preparing the contracts for the award.
Yeah, and I mean, we have so many man hours in this project, I think we're going to be able to like come up with in-kind contributions to match the federal funding. So if we did want to think about how we could creatively use the state side of things, maybe we could avoid NEPA.
Yeah, maybe we just use as much of the state side to get around the NEPA stuff.
Yeah. And that is, and in my conversation today with the Denver office, she specifically mentioned NEPA. She was like, make sure you guys pay attention to NEPA. And I was like, oh, great.
Okay. Anything we want to talk a little bit about the outreach that we're going to need to do? And Emily, you've highlighted a number of the speaking engagements that one you've already done in January. We've got some coming up in March that we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Lynn with Friends of Great Salt Lake is here. She has invited me to write a newsletter article, which we'll be talking about.
Here's an example of the newsletter that we publish quarterly. And when Nathan and I talked, I suggested that after the legislative session, you could use space in here to help raise awareness about the effort of what's going on.
And that'll be coming out in April? If
it'll be coming out after you get your copy.
All right. likely after the session, so March or April would be my thinking. And so I'm happy to do that. Of course, we'll shop it around, make sure that everyone in the group is comfortable with whatever we publish. But I think that fits in nicely with who else we're reaching out to. I think the one that seems to be taking up most of our time in scheduling is the Utah Water Users Association. Emily and I are on the agenda. Candace, you are not.
Okay.
Sterling is also not on the agenda.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're taking it for
them. Well, Sterling and Emily and I coordinated this morning, and he's following up on that. I think part of it is they came out with the agenda before we, I guess, coordinated on this. But I thought we had.
Yeah.
But either way, it's on the agenda. It's that Tuesday at 1:15 in the afternoon. So Sterling's following up on that.
Is that going to be a series of presentations, or is that going to be
it's
a
just
panel?
The one-time panel?
That's going to be, and also, so anybody who's been down to these meetings, you know that we have water users usually on the Tuesday and the Wednesday, and the day before is the water law and policy meeting. So water banking is going to be on both of those. We're going to be on our panel talking more specifically about this. At water law and policy, Senator Iwamoto and Tim Hawks will be talking about kind of a legislator's perspective on water generally, but I think the expectation with that is that Janie and Tim will both talk about the resolution and the water banking effort, and they'll also talk about the other water bills that passed this year. So that won't be entirely water banking specific, but it will be focused on there as well. Looks like we have, those are the ones I've been up to speed on.
Nathan, could I just ask a question about the water users? At one time we talked about, and of course this would mean some really knowledgeable people would have to volunteer their time, but whether it would make sense to have a table someplace after the session to hear comments and take feedback from people if there were any. And I mean, obviously there are other ways to get the feedback, but I just wondered if there had been any discussion about that.
Well, that's, I think, because Emily has talked a lot about getting some materials, outreach materials together. And I think what we could do is have members from the group, and maybe we even mention that in our panel, to say, hey, look, this is the effort we're doing. If you have questions about this or you want more, we've got a table out there. We've got folks that are sitting at it. Go bring your, I think that's a good point. And I know we keep talking, well, I don't think you and I have had a chance to really do any of these outreach materials because we've focused on legislation, but
I don't think they're gonna queue off this stuff though. I think that these are gonna be the backbones. I love having an ongoing table, and I think it's good to bring it back up. I don't know if we just ask.
No,
Carly,
we'll go there unless there's good treats though. I mean,
well, I think my first
well,
sponsoring
in-kind
table,
contributions, Rich.
Already, we will have a table. If you have a table, that would probably be a more appropriate place for it to go.
Well, but even if there's multiple, if we're able to have this similar material that a variety of people that might be.
Are we thinking like in the expo then, like with all the technical folks?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But I'm happy to put it in my table. I'm sure Clyde will have a, Clyde Snow will have a table, but I think in our present, in our remarks, when we say, hey, if you have questions or feedback and you want more information, go to this table. It's better to say go to the state's table than it is to...
I think either the state's table or just a freestanding independent table, because we also don't want to monopolize your other projects you have going on. You know what I mean?
Can Carter give you a space, though, or do you have to...
That's my question, is if we have to pay for it, that's
what you have to pay for.
I think there is... It's
you get to pay for it.
You get to pay for
it. There is, I mean, I have seen... Maybe we could do one of those, like, I don't know what they're called, like cocktail tables or whatever, the higher tables. And what I think would be kind of cool, if we had the materials, but if we had, like, an iPad that had a survey, thoughts, suggestions, or... something that they could run through, that could be handy, but I don't know.
Clint, I mean, I know that we talked earlier about there's some proprietary nature of the work that you guys are doing until you're done, but like, could we work with you guys to, I mean, I just don't want to reinvent the wheel since you've already created a water banking survey questions. Like, is there a way that we can reformat that to be more, instead of 2-hour interview, like a hey, I'm an interested water user. Here are 15 top questions that have short answers. Is that something we could do? Okay. Because that way we don't have to do it.
And I would leave making surveys to experts.
Yes.
And do we want to put an iPad out, or do we just want to say go to this website?
Go to this website.
Yeah.
You could do it in a presentation. It could be in the slides. It could be on a little card.
We can do it on Monday. We can do it on Tuesday.
Speaking of website, whether it be a website or just a web page, I would suggest that you have a landing spot for all of this centralized information. And no matter who's talking to somebody, they can point them to the right information. Because right now we're talking about it's good. They're good techniques, and they can be effective. And it definitely, from a stakeholder evaluation standpoint, you're hitting on a lot of the right stakeholders. You're gonna have a lot of people that aren't in that room, and they're gonna be believing in urban legends. There's gonna be a lot floating around. And so, if you have a centralized place where you can just say, hey, if you want to know about this, this is where the facts are. You could even do a video of your presentation, upload it to YouTube, embed it right into that web page, right? So make the most use of everything that you're doing up until now, so that not only is the person that's managing the water district, but you know the farmer who didn't show up and is just hearing from the person upstream of them, has a place that they can go to.
And I don't think it's a bad idea to even just have like a brief like 3-minute video that's like an intro video of our concepts that in addition to anything we record.
Here's the top 5 things you need to know about water banking.
Could we do that for Division of Water Resources website? Because we've been posting our materials on your study committee website, so we have a electronic cache of everything we've done to date. But
our website's not great.
No, it's not.
So and we're working on it. And I've heard that for a long time, so I need to follow up on that. We could do something and have a waterbanking.utah.gov website or something, maybe. I would have to talk to
them. UtahWaterBanks.com is even available, right? I mean, it's available for $2.99 a month, $2.99 a month. So if you wanted to have it a third party, you have a pretty wide coalition here. That could probably feed the information, and then sometimes even from a DTS administrative standpoint, having it be kind of an outside source that everybody works on together as far as content goes can be an advantage. So I think if you wanted to go that route, it would not be a complicated website to create, and then you have that centralized hub that you can build out as things get more complicated. And it might actually, as you're building out these different water banks, you might actually be able to do little summaries of each water bank eventually. It's probably something you're going to want eventually anyway.
Well, we've discussed that, when we get to actual implementation stage. But I think maybe we haven't discussed a precursor informational website, which I think is a great idea.
And if I recall, didn't you do public relations for the division?
I did.
Sounds like you're volunteering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I'd like to help.
Done.
My biggest concern with, and I like, we definitely need the website. We definitely need to have online surveys. There's a lot of old timers at water users, and I think we need a way to make sure we capture their questions, their input.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying instead of,
I know you want, we need that. But I hope that in addition to, okay, here's the website, here, go and answer this survey, we need a way to capture what those old timers are saying.
Well, and I think that's why we have, I think Marcel's comment, and what we've talked before about having people at the table.
Yeah, as long as it's staff,
we
can
say, look,
and
maybe
notes.
We have like a comment card or a sheet or something if you want to submit.
You probably just have to listen and take notes.
And the goal is to have materials that are generic consensus endorsed materials that the group has said yes to. So anyone can staff at the table. Anyone can talk to people who has been involved in the group. And I think the pilot project is going to slightly morph into a temporary task of getting these materials kind of vetted for the group to go out. Because once we hire the person, our tasks are kind of complete while we work, you know, while they get up to speed. And so I kind of see pilot projects slash education materials as being like one working group that's working in parallel to the legislative group. And we should probably have you come to those meetings.
So we've got about a month before we need to have that. If we use water users, it's kind of the time period. So it seems like by that time we need to have a central landing page, whether it's Utah Water Banks or if it's Division of Water Resources, we need to figure that out. We need to have some materials, which I don't think a lot of this is going to be hard, because I think Emily's already done the heavy lifting of this. Maybe it's just condensing it down to a little bit shorter. But
which is based off all of our work. All this is just from bullet points from prior meetings. This is just condensed down.
Prepared over a course of 5 hours.
Yeah.
So I think we need to... When do you think we need to have that?
I think we should have it ready for water users.
Oh, I definitely do, but when? Before water users?
So water users is what, March?
It's 18th, 19th,
and 20th.
Yeah, 19th, 20th.
I mean, it'd be nice to be, like, work backwards. So if we had, like, the materials completed by, and the website up by, like, 15th, and then work backwards when we need to distribute it. I don't know, I need to look at the calendar.
I think
that that's something that we maybe should be have like the smaller group figure out.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure out distribution dates to the larger group make sure.
I think it's important to identify what are the main things that we're trying to develop. Like I'm hearing a website, a way to get feedback, whether it's a survey, educational material. So is that a one pager? Is it a resolution that's already what other materials are we envisioning?
And the key is to have the content duplicate itself from a value standpoint, right? So you don't necessarily have to have completely different content for a one pager than you have on the website, right? If you have the content that you want, it's probably going to be pretty similar. So the key is to get the content that you want, and then you can just package it differently. So same information, just packaged differently, and then available to people in the way that they want to access it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why don't we set our meeting? We're going to do Thursdays for legislation. We probably need a meeting maybe this week if we can set it. So internally, we'll get the little pilot group together because we also need to talk about the request for qualifications. And then... get a timeline together, and in that timeline will be very specific dates for broader group distribution and like a week or so for people to give us comment on things.
Yep. So that sounds like a plan. Just a couple of things that we've talked about in the past. For February, Sterling is working on setting up a meeting with Utah Business Coalition at some point in the legislative session for us to come and talk to them about that. We have League of Cities and Towns, Mark. Do you have any thoughts on how we would... My understanding is... I've talked with Cameron about this. I've let him know. I think they're going to try to start coming to these as soon as they can. I know they're, of course, relying on you.
It's going to be hard for them to engage before the end of the session.
Yeah, well, we understand that. So. But we want to make sure that the League and the Association of Counties are involved. I've reached out to Cameron, as I mentioned. You've been coming to these on behalf of the League. I would, my thinking with the League of the Association of Counties is let's just wait until after the session before we reach out to them.
And part of the question is, do you just want them to disseminate information? Do you want them to host a meeting? Do you want, that was a good question, is what you want from them?
Well, my thinking was just initially, let's wait until the resolution's passed and then contact them and say, hey, here's what's going on. You tell us. Do you want us to come talk about it? Is this enough? We don't want you to feel excluded. We don't want it to be a surprise. That's basically what I see. You think that us coming out to talk to you would be helpful? We're happy to do that. If you just want to know where the meetings are and come. The counties I see that as more, we want them to know about it, but they don't usually have water. They're not water right managers. They're not managing these things. I see them as more of just kind of, this may be happening in your neck of the woods. We don't want you to be surprised by it.
Well, they'll hear more from their constituents, right?
Yeah.
So the county council members will be hearing from their friends and neighbors. I'm still not even sure what the role of municipalities is in this whole program.
Potentially leasing water, or do we have extra water?
Well, so we could be leasing water, right? But other than that, do we have, is there a role? And that's not for public discussion right now.
I think what it brings up is that those are potential information gaps.
Yeah.
That if we can fill in with good information, then it's not going to be filled in with misinformation.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's more just a, mm-hmm. Hey, guys, here's what we're doing, so if you hear about it, send them our way.
And one of the things I always love to do in these types of situations is I do what I call it LEAF analysis, legislative, executive, administrative, and public. And you go through any stakeholder that could potentially be involved in an issue, and you start out with legislative and say, okay, what are their self-interests? What are they going to know? How is it going to come back to bite them if they don't know it? And go all the way through all of these, and then that's when you're able to kind of determine which are the appropriate tools. And that might be a quick little exercise that would be good to do as part of this.
Yeah. So I think we've gone through March. Emily, you're going to be speaking to World Technology Alliance annual training.
Yeah, that's a group I speak to regularly anyway, and I just was going for a water banking on as the topic this year. Because that's basically, do you guys work with Amy Green? And so it's her groups. And so there are a bunch of canal companies that are using her software for telemetry. So basically just kind of letting them know that, hey, this is coming down the pipe too. We might be talking to you more about it. But again, one of the things we talked about in our last legislative meeting is that it's very important that we, pace the discussion so that, we start out, we're introducing the concepts of water banking, we're introducing, the fact that there's continued study on it, that we have coming legislation, but, making sure as a group we're introducing the specifics of that legislation at the right time so that the concept doesn't get bogged down and devil in the detailed conversations before it's really ready.
Yeah. And then I think next up we have the Cache Water Conservancy District Conference.
Yeah.
Is that something you'd like us to speak to?
Yeah, I think. I'm hoping she's still on the agenda.
Yeah. I just didn't want to be in every single one. But I will be, yes. And then Utah Association of Canal Companies, that's one we have to keep in our thoughts. And then other groups as we go.
I have a feeling March will flesh out some of these, too.
Yeah.
But anything else on the list that we should be thinking of other people to reach out to?
So I would just extend an invitation for 2020. May 6th through 8th, that'll be our next biennial Great Salt Lake Issues Forum. And the working title for the forum is Great Salt Lake, the gift that keeps on giving, just add water. So we're very water aware and excited about the possibilities. And I think after the 2020 legislative session in May, that would be the next phase of the conversation.
Okay, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And one thing Candace and I are on the AWRA Utah. We could easily get that on the agenda because we will be putting that thing together.
Yes,
we'll be
that. And I think I've already suggested it, or you did, one of us already.
Yeah, I think we.
I think there's just a question about who are, as far as participants, right? You have people putting in, you have people who potentially would be looking to take out. So who is it that you anticipate on either of those sides that we need to know more about this?
Well, I think it could be potentially anybody. Because
as far as environmental interests, they might be on the taking out side, but I don't know how much education or outreach they need about that until you're kind of ready to.
Well, I think most of the environmental interests are just interested in knowing how it's going to work. Because they're going to be the potential ones that they're going to lease out. But I do think in some cases, when we looked at the price, most of the water rights there are owned by Pacific Core and by the public water supply. So they might be the ones putting in that particular basin. And the farmers were mainly the ones concerned about being able to take it out at a fair market rate.
We also have a very broad regional participation in the issues forum, sometimes globally as well. That doesn't preclude what we're doing in Utah, but I think the goal is to help the home team, i.e. the expanded workforce, on behalf of Great Salt Lake, but state agencies, federal, and so forth, to become better versed in what is going on. So, yes, the environmental community would certainly want to know how to take advantage of it, but I think in terms of a concept that is really quite groundbreaking for Utah, I think it's a great opportunity.
I have a feeling we'll all have plenty of chances to speak about this if it works. I guess the other thing is, I don't think the three of us want to monopolize all these opportunities. So if anyone else wants to speak.
And that's why I think having that centralized website, but also our centralized materials, will also, like, I think really alleviate some of the discomfort to make sure that we're all on the same page. Like, we can all just make, when we say roadshow, I mean, really, like, we're taking our PowerPoint on the roadshow. You know, like, it's the same PowerPoint at every presentation with the same content that, you know, everyone hears the same message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I also think that there's more credence when it comes from different messengers.
And speaking of which, we might need to get our presentation together, pass it by the group first to make sure we're
I definitely envision it being group sign off.
So the week before Water Users, the American Fishery Society, Utah American Fishery Society conference, that might be a good forum to present this at. And I actually feel like we'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Because you'll be there.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one's a little further out, but the law school is really, really interested. And the law school wants to do, like, a big, like, panel about it. And they actually want to create, in the fall, a seminar class on it for, like, students who want to help. And so I think that in the fall, when we get there, if we want student help. Because it was cute, Dan Aller was like, we can have them do all the research of what people have done across the states. And I was like, oh,
you already
no.
did that.
Thank you.
So I think that the spring is going to be like, kind of kicking the tires. And then I think as we go throughout the summer and fall, we'll just keep growing.
So I think, Emily, anything you're missing on your agenda?
No, I think that's it.
So I think in terms of next step, I'm going to send out a reoccurring calendar invite for Thursday. I'm going to send it out to the whole group.
Yeah.
And anybody who wants to participate can. I understand not everyone's going to be able to take it every week. You're going to follow up with the pilot group to get started on those materials. We'll get started on our presentation and circulate. We will plan on a newsletter in your, or an article in your newsletter March, April-ish. And we'll keep you posted on the legislation. When I spoke with Senator Iwamoto last night, I think she had felt we've kind of done everything that we can at this point, so I'm not expecting any more hearings.
Do we want to set another large group meeting for like 6 to 8 weeks out? I mean, that's kind of what our schedule's been working on, maybe like post-legislative session?
Yeah.
Pre-water users?
I was just saying that it's going to be tight pre-water users, and I think pre-water users is important.
Yeah, I agree.
Because if anything changes in the messaging or anything you want to focus on the messaging, I think a large group will
I do think the next large group meeting, I would, if possible, schedule at a time that Janie and hopefully Tim could make it.
I can talk with them. And just so you know, during the legislative session, you're going to be getting invites from our office for the meetings, but generally they will be coming from John Hennington's. He's just so busy during the legislative session that we just kind of shifted that around. So what date are we thinking that we could float to them?
15th.
The 15th?
15th of March.
That's the only day I got.
All right.
Done.
That's the day after my session ends.
So Janie and Tim should totally be available. It's fine. What else do they do?
Just wake them up and drag them in.
I know. I felt so bad.
You'll send out an invite on that, too?
Yeah.
I guess we have to set
What time do we want to do?
just want to tentatively set it for 9?
I would say 9:30.
9:30, okay, yeah.
Could we still meet here, Boyd?
I'll have to check.
Janie, by the way, has been tenacious on this.
She has been, I don't know if I've ever seen a legislator work harder at something than this that she has. And she said repeatedly that she's going to work for hours. She is really, I think, and Tim too. I mean, both of them have really pushed this. I mean, it was yesterday we testified at that hearing, and then she's like, well, I want to get a meeting with Stuart Adams. And he hadn't even left the Hill before she called both of us. Yeah. She was like, all right, it's at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So she's been pushing it really hard.
And I think that Sterling has been, so we said this earlier, but like, yeah, instrumentally helpful.
Yeah, I think at our meeting with Stuart Adams, it was like, Sterling doesn't say a whole lot usually, but it was kind of like Senator Adams, once Sterling gave him the okay, and then he was like, all right, no, I can support it.
All we need to just sit in that room and nod.
Yeah, just, it's okay. Listen to him.
Okay,
so that's March 19th at 9, yeah. March 15th at 9:30?
9:30 to 11.
Okay. A&R? Good. We'll send out,
I'll send out an invite from our office.
All
of us.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Anybody? Any comments from the folks on the phone?
Nope. Nice job.
Yeah, and thank you very much to the two of you. We recognize what the last few weeks have been like. You know, we've not been able to go on for all.
So far, the press has only misquoted us slightly.
But we're saving the Colorado River when we're doing it, though, so I mean, it's kind of nice.
Yeah. And we're already doing the pilot programs in the Cache of Provo. I didn't know if you were aware of that one, but those are already done.
I heard they were set.
Yeah.
Picking with gas.
And it's a really controversial one, too. That was my other point of
controversy, yes.
It's a water fight brewing on Capitol Hill. It was talking about surplus water, but the whole article was about banking.
Boyd, are you going to reserve a room again?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you. And do we want a telephone line set up again?
I think so. I think we're planning on that. There's always a few people who can't make it personally.
Are you recording this one?
I am. I don't know how good it'll come out. I'm just doing it on my phone.
Will you post the audio on the study committee then? Because I've been talking to Sean, who's in your office, and so I've been sending him materials. He's been awesome.
If you want them recorded, that's one of the options with this. It's a Google phone meeting, and so that can be recorded. I just told him we didn't need to, so.
Yeah. I think in the future, because we have so many, like, people, it would be helpful to have a recording on it.